This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. It's Thursday. It's May 18th. We're the Fantasy Footballers.
Get it right.
And we got a show for you.
You were bossing people around there. Like, well, this is the day. We are the footballers.
Those are just more like...
Just deal with it.
Proclamations.
Yeah, but you were spitting facts like fire.
Yeah.
Just basic facts about the show.
I'm just telling you how you presented it.
Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway, excited to be with you. We have an overreactions episode.
Not going to do what y'all think I'm going to do.
Which is, it's good. We've each selected a couple things that we believe the fantasy football community at large will overreact to for the 2023 season. Because if there's one thing we're good at, it's overreacting to a lot of different things.
Yeah, and usually it has a lot to do with recency bias, because I don't know if you know this, but whatever happened last year is certainly going to happen this year, right, guys?
Well, it could, Jason, right? Anything that's happened before is going to happen again.
I'm sure that's how it works.
Got a quick question to talk about as well. Want to throw a thank you out there to the Foot Clan, everybody that has picked up a ticket for the Megala Show.
Oh.
Our biggest live event ever. We are doing, what is the date? Saturday, August 26th. We will be live at the Palace Theater in LA. By the time you're hearing this, I think we're over halfway to having it sold out. So yep. A lot of you have picked up tickets. If you want a chance to go, please go to ballerslive.com. Show's brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Did you want to comment on that?
I was going to ask, though. I mean, I don't know if the click clack came through, but Jason's just like throwing a stylus around here.
I picked up a stylus and I whoopsie doozle.
What were you going to do?
I was just going to hold it and then I threw it.
It slipped out of his hands.
I often hold this. It's, you know, it's a little idiosyncrasy, and I decided to throw it.
So you picked it up.
I picked it up and just threw it across the room.
If you want to see stuff like that live, go to ballerslive.com, grab a ticket. And we'll see you at the end of August, right before the season begins. It's going to be awesome. A couple other things that are going on right now. We are, under 2 weeks now to the Ultimate Draft Kit. So exciting times. That's coming out on June 1st, ultimatedraftkit.com.
Behind the scenes, we now have every single player statted for all three of us. We're looking at the data, comparing it, getting all the tools built. Everything is looking excellent, and it's a lot of fun. So these next couple weeks is where we're putting polish on it and getting it ready for launch.
He'll be throwing things all over the place.
Just everything on the wall, see what sticks.
Yeah. Anything else going on, Brooks, you need to talk about?
Well, with the draft kit, I know you guys are pumped. We're recording 100 video player profiles over the next 2 weeks.
I'm going to need a sandwich.
Yeah, we do. We've got 100-plus player profile videos as part of the UDK, and the technology, the artificial intelligence, is not at the point yet where we we can avoid doing it. So we're going to have to do it.
You know the truth here, Foot Clan, if we could be honest for a second. Man, do I hate doing those videos. However, I love the results of those videos. I genuinely learn a lot because we all come with our own research, our own information when we're talking through these players. I feel like those videos make me so much smarter. So if you haven't, if even if you've already got the UDK, you get it every year, whatever, if you haven't really partaken in those player profile videos, you should check them out. They are extremely valuable. Just taxing.
Yeah, well, that's what it is, right? It's more of like the marathon thing, and you're not a marathon guy.
No, I'm like not even a walk guy.
The Dynasty podcast, new episode came out yesterday as well. They talked about range of outcomes for some players, some hot players like Anthony Richardson, Jahmyr Gibbs, and Kyle Pitts.
All right, quick question for today. Aaron in Oklahoma wants to know, says, hey, ballers, longtime listener. I love the show. I am the commissioner of my very first Dynasty League. We have our startup draft in June. My question is, how do you guys go about daily waivers and the settings for those, specifically on game days? Any insight would be awesome. What do you think?
I mean, ours is pretty simple. We have the waivers run every single day. They're locked on Tuesday so that you can make your waiver transactions, get them ready for the week. But every morning, somewhere, depending on the league, 8 a.m., 9 a.m., the waivers will run in a fab auction style bidding war, and that's it. And so for game day, we've discussed, and I know in some leagues, that day it'll run in the morning and then it'll be open waivers for the rest of the day. In a dynasty league, I don't think you really need to do that. Most players are on rosters, and so
you have a pivot option because your bench is 18 to 20 deep.
Yeah, you don't need to be like, oh no, I didn't see this coming. I need to find someone off of a dynasty waiver. So really just simple and having it run every single morning, I think, is the way to go.
We have open waivers after the waiver time period in our redraft league, though, or in our keeper league.
Right.
Yep.
When you do need to have pivot options, which has been that tweak was very nice.
And with all the new dynasty leagues starting up, that being this time of year, we have a new article, How to Commish a Dynasty Fantasy Football League, from Matt DeSorbo. On the website, so go check that out. If you have any questions, if you want to start a league, start another one, if you already are a commish and you want to find out how bad you've been, go read that article and step up your game.
Yeah, and I think it was the last episode, our mailbag episode, when someone brought up that they had found a great dynasty league to go and play on the Discord channel in the Foot Clan League. So we're trying to provide ways for you to get into good leagues, try something new out, whether it's a keeper, a dynasty, a redraft league with some other dedicated players.
Yeah, Papa Josh, who runs he runs the community, including the Discord, he says it's popping over on FootClanLeagues.com.
That sounds like something he would say because he's kind of
hip. Very, very young.
Hip?
Yeah, he said, actually, he didn't, I'm sorry, guys, I lied. He said it is bussin'.
Yeah, that's him.
Which is ironic because he also said that about Knight Rider, one of his favorite shows. Right?
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Bussin'.
Yeah, no cap.
Okay. Even Mike, there are very few things in this world Mike can say where he's not still cool.
My kids.
And that is one of them.
My kids have a language, and I'm like, I can't do this. Like,
they break all of that out?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Really?
Oh, yeah. My kids have all the cool YouTube words. I got in on Yeet, finally.
Did you?
Like, I mean, this is a while back when Yeet was having a moment.
I feel like you're late to that part.
Oh, no, okay. When they first started using it, I was like, what is this? But then it's a fun word for when you're like throwing something or someone's jumping and you just yeet. It's a good time. But
yeah, I mean, I haven't really gone there.
Oh, well, that's not it.
You need to take over our TikTok, Mike. All right, let's move forward.
I'm not going to do what you all think I'm going to do, which is just flip out.
No, but you should really check out Knight Rider. That thing is
With the Hoff.
Yeah, it's pretty good. All right, we're jumping into players or situations that fantasy football managers have the potential to overreact to in 2023. We are going to try to steady a few ships today and kind of, you know, we're supposed to react, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, players emerge. Certainly, if a player has a breakout season, you know, you don't throw that out the window and say, oh, they're going to return to what they were the year before. but an appropriate reaction is what you're looking for, because you're in a league with 11 other players or 9 other players, and there's going to be a lot of reactions by those players. And so you need to know where you should really be buying the hype, whatever the case may be. And so I'm going to let Jason kick it off with one of his first kind of potential overreactions for the fantasy football universe.
Yeah, this is the season of Dynasty. We've been talking about that. I think that because we've talked about rookies, rookie drafts, we did Dynasty Week, and that's what people are consuming right now, mixed with what we have seen over the last couple of years, the extreme explosion of dual threat, monstrous fantasy football seasons at the quarterback position. I believe that there is going to be, and already is, I mean, I know there already is, based on average draft position and underdog and everywhere that you're drafting right now, in redraft, non-dynasty leagues, the leagues that you're going to do in August, there's going to be a massive reach, I believe, an overreaction for Anthony Richardson, rookie quarterback for the Colts, and people are going to say, I'm swinging for the fences, and he's going to be, you know, a Lamar Jackson, a Jalen Hurts, a Josh Allen, a Justin Fields. He's going to be one of those huge, monstrous performers in fantasy.
He didn't say Trey Lance, but go on.
Right, no. And I don't think that that is right. I don't think that's a good process. I don't think that is going to happen. And I say this as someone who completely believes in Anthony Richardson. I actually think he will develop into a good thrower of the football and be a successful NFL quarterback. And in dynasty leagues, I love taking him high because I do think he's going to have a great season. But when you look at Josh Allen, a great career, he's not going to have a great season. And if he has fantasy success, it certainly is not going to come when it matters when you draft players, which is the first half of the season. You go back and you look at Josh Allen's rookie year. He was not very good, but if you look at the first 5 or 6 games and then he got injured in the middle, he was atrocious, abysmal. You couldn't play him. You would have dropped him 4 weeks in. You're watching clips of him making bad, awful passes, which is going to happen to Anthony Richardson as well, because his accuracy is something that he's got to work on, his throwing motion, getting his feet set, all of that. He's not going to come out on fire to start the NFL, and I think he'll be on waivers in week 4, 5, 6, and you could scoop him up and maybe towards the end of the year. You look at Justin Fields. Justin Fields averaged just over 10 fantasy points a game, and he came in as a better prospect. He did. Anthony Richardson is a better athlete. And so you could say, oh, well, fantasy, we got to get those mobile quarterbacks. You score more running the ball. All of that is true. But the overreaction here is thinking that all of a sudden, because these other great quarterbacks have developed, the Fields, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, is going to say, well, now somehow Anthony Richardson, with 13 college starts under his belt, is going to come in and do what none of these guys, none of these great quarterbacks did for the beginning of their rookie season, which is perform really, really well. And so if you are picking him as a top 10 quarterback, which is where his ADP is right now, that to me is a wasted pick. And, you know, obviously, I hope he shames me here and I can eat crow on this, and he just comes out guns blazing and is great to start his rookie year, but it's just not going to happen.
RG3, would that be one of the cases where it did work out for fantasy players? I remember he started on fire his first rookie season.
No, he was absolutely fantastic. But again, a much, much better prospect coming in. I mean, there were so many people here that thought, before the combine, that thought Anthony Richardson is not a first-round quarterback. And plenty of people still liked him. I mean, the talent was obviously there. But if you look at his numbers in college, his passing success rate, he is a work in progress, not like RG3.
I think the hard part with Richardson and why you're going to see overreactions is it is going to be flashy. Whether it's preseason, training camp, you know what the hype train season is like. And so, you know, I thought when you were talking about him that you might use, you said he's not going to be, I thought the word that was coming was consistent at the very least, right? You might have a game where he, you know, if he has a 65-yard run, like that's going to make his week.
Yeah, for a touchdown.
But if you don't, you know, historically, you have some really good players that didn't have success as rookies, is what you're saying, and he's going to be, and he's not as good of a prospect, and so it could be some growing pains, and that may put him onto waiver wires, and you wasted whatever it will be. What I mean, what round do you think he's going to go in redraft? Seven?
Yeah, I mean,
around there.
I think he will go in the single digit rounds, which someone's going to take a shot, right? Someone's going to say. The value, the upside, the swing for the fences mentality says upside wins championships, and so I'm going to draft him instead of Geno Smith, you know?
Yeah, like, I think it's a difficult decision what to do with Richardson in a redraft league. Because, like back when Trey Lance came out, and you didn't know for sure when he was going to be the starter, you just, because he was the third overall pick that they traded up for, all the probability, and like historically speaking, it meant Trey Lance will get in sooner than later. And it was how good can he be? And he felt like a solid pick there to stash on the back of your bench. And it's hard for me to not feel that way about Anthony Richardson just as a stash. But if he's going as the quarterback 10, that does create a value problem.
And the problem will be, you need a quarterback. If you're waiting there, are you taking the second quarterback in the sixth or seventh round? Because you're probably not. And so are you going to wait and lose out on Tua or lose out on Dak that can start for you week one and give you consistent numbers?
I think you're taking, like, you're going Richardson and you're drafting him as your first quarterback, but you're not drafting him to play as your first quarterback. And then you grab someone like
Kirk Cousins or
Daniel Jones, who will go later, and you know that. They'll probably finish as a top 12 quarterback, which isn't saying a ton, but they will bring you at least some stability as you wait for Richardson to progress. But it's a very difficult decision.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly will have games where if he has two rushing touchdowns, he'll be fine. But, you know, to illustrate this, over the last decade, 19 rookie quarterbacks have had a sub 60% completion rate. And I think that is the projection, I would imagine, for all of us, that he's going to be sub 60% on his passing completion rate, like he was at college. And only one quarterback over that time has finished as a top 12, and that was Andrew Luck. Again, you know, that's the prospect barometer now. That's the name where it's like, best prospect since Andrew Luck is the name always thrown.
There's been three rookie quarterbacks with 600-plus rushing yards, RG3, Allen, and Lamar Jackson. Allen did it, but still only averaged 17 fantasy points a game.
Well, and the thing
so
is,
that could be like your barometer.
17 fantasy points a game, you'd be like, oh, hey, that is not bad. But if you look at his rookie season, the first half was abysmal. Then he kind of got it together, ran more, had more success at the end. And I do think there will be success rookie season, but it's not going to be a good draft pick. And I think if Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts and Justin Fields didn't just happen, if those guys... nobody would be drafting Anthony Richardson like this. That's where I think the overreaction's coming from.
Do you guys think, though, so that 600-yard mark, do you think Richardson will make it past that? I would take under that.
I've got him right there.
I've got him over that. I have him about almost 800 yards on the ground. Because I think when the going gets tough in the NFL, he's going to lean on what he is exceptionally gifted at, and that's going to be that athleticism. All right, Mike, what is an overreaction that you see heading fantasy players' way?
So it brings me no delight to share this one because DJ Moore is a player that I love. I think is extremely talented. I think that DJ Moore has been in impossible situations over and over and over, and each offseason it's been, well, it can't certainly be worse. Maybe this is the year that it gets better. Then you have the big time trade.
I think
trade.
That was a direct quote from like the Sam Darnold arrival.
Maybe. You have the huge trade. He moves from Carolina. He goes to the Chicago Bears. Excitement in the streets from the Bears, for Justin Fields, who feels like he could be developing into not only a stud for fantasy football, but maybe he's a good quarterback. TBD. But you get him a number one overall wide receiver. And we've seen several you know, examples of this over the last few years of, like, Stephon Diggs goes to Buffalo. Out of nowhere, Josh Allen is an elite quarterback from a middling passer. Now he's great. You have A.J. Brown goes to Jalen Hurts. His passing numbers go through the roof. You have DeAndre Hopkins comes to Arizona with Kyler Murray. They're both fantastic. And he's DJ Moore is being drafted like he got an upgrade. He did not. I love Justin Fields. I think that he can be good. I think he's going to be great for fantasy football, but not because he's an elite passer yet. That is just that it's not there, and the volume is not there. Last year, DJ Moore sixth in deep targets. Justin Fields last year ranked 28th in deep adjusted completion percent last year. That is 28th. That's not good. That is in fact near the league bottom. Last year in Justin Fields' starts, guys, this is so bad. Okay, so we have the Bears wide receivers. They averaged 18 fantasy points per game. The group.
The whole group.
The group. The wide receivers. All together. The wide receivers, if you put them all together, you don't have a wide receiver one if you combine all their numbers. Last year, in just two total weeks, we had a wide receiver score more than 12 points, and that was Dante Pettis in week six.
Yeah.
And Darnell Mooney in week nine. It's not there yet for Justin Fields. And on top of that, the volume is not going to be there. He went from Carolina to there was like two options, I believe, that it could have been a lateral or worse move for DJ Moore to go to, and he went to one of those places, and yet he's still being drafted very, very high in best ball right now.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. The situation, look, it wouldn't be a story for the offseason to see things like Justin Fields is – he seems to be really improving as a passer heading into the year if he was already there, right? You don't have those stories if he had already achieved that goal. Darnell Mooney, he's going to be back. He was gone for a big portion of the year. Cole Kmet will be part of the offense. Chase Claypool, second round draft selection swapped for Chase Claypool. It's funny, but Claypool will be involved in this offense
as
well. And so what has DJ Moore shown us in the past? Great player that has big games, hard to predict when those are going to be. Touchdowns are very difficult for him to reach, you know, thresholds that are relevant for fantasy.
In underdog fantasy best ball right now, he is going as the wide receiver 21. That is in front of DeAndre Hopkins. That is in front of Keenan Allen. I mean,
in front of Keenan?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just.
I want it to happen so bad.
It's the invisible upside. We haven't seen DJ Moore with a Bears uniform on. And
that part is true.
And you did bring up cases that I'm afraid that you might have laid on accident one of those like jungle traps.
A punji pit?
Yeah, with like the leaves over the top because you were trying to talk people out of DJ Moore, which is not something you do very often. But then you said Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen, and then A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts, and then Hopkins and Kyler Murray.
I'm not setting the trap.
All I heard
was... I'm pointing at the bait. That's
all I heard is, what if? What if?
This time it could happen for us.
But yeah, he is shaping up to be, based on his draft position, a potential bust. Because we have hopes and dreams, and I don't blame anybody for having them. But yeah, it's compelling. All right, my... first overreaction that I've been wanting to talk about this one for a while. So a lot of notoriety has been given to the offensive coordinator situation in Dallas. And that began with kind of this, you throw your hands up and you go, this has been an incredibly great offense under Kellen Moore for many years. And here they are cutting bait on Kellen Moore and adding and I looked this up. I got it confirmed through Kyle. Brian Schottenheimer, that's the least sexy name you can possibly add to your coaching staff. Isn't that what we confirm, Kyle?
He's pretty low on the sex meter.
He's low on the sex meter, yeah. I mean, when you add Brian Schottenheimer, he comes with like a busload of like a symphony just playing sad sounds because you know in our fantasy football world, he represents a running game.
Look, I'm not going to let you sit back here and besmirch the name of Brian Schottenheimer, who in 12 years as an offensive coordinator has finished with a top 15 offense.
Once. Right?
In yards. And I'm going with total yards. I mean, two. Two out of 12 years, he's been in the top 15, sir.
No, I mean, he makes you want to shoot yourself right in the Heimer.
One-sixth of the time.
Yeah, I mean, this is so there's a lot of storylines there, but the one that
who sees that is like, yeah, that's the stuff. That's the stuff that we need around here.
Did he win a championship in Seattle? Was he there during that time, or did he come afterwards?
Let's see. He was there.
Kyle doesn't know.
2018 to 2020.
The first thing Kyle doesn't know. How dare you? I think he came afterwards.
It was after.
So he doesn't even have that on his resume. But listen, the fear here is that Dallas will be way more run heavy, and I think the overreaction is that there will be some sort of negative impact to CeeDee Lamb. And what I'm here to correct, what I'm here to control, is an overreaction that casts a negative light on CeeDee Lamb. It's not something I agree with. I think CeeDee Lamb is he's not kind of good. I think he's an elite option, one of the best receivers in football, and Dallas already ran the ball a lot. They were fifth. They ran 45% of the time last year. That is the highest rate in McCarthy's career. So I don't know how much more they can even run. Right now, they removed Ezekiel Elliott from the offense, and you've got Tony Pollard, and you've got Ronald Jones, and Malik Davis?
Malik Davis.
So you don't necessarily...
And Deuce?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a little guy.
Deuce Vaughn.
So I don't think the personnel necessarily lends to going up above 45%. And the truth is what is the value of these targets when they have the opportunity to play action pass, something that they're very capable of doing? They went 12-5 last year. CeeDee Lamb was the essence of that offense. He was targeted on 26% of his routes. That was seventh best in football, 107 receptions. And there's a very small list of players with 100-plus receptions and 1,300 receiving yards at the age of 23. He's one of the guys with Jefferson, with Hopkins, with Brandon Marshall, and then Anquan Boldin in the last decade. So, to me, this is not a situation where I am panicking about CeeDee Lamb. He is the kind of player that demands targets. And when you watch the football, or when you watch the Cowboys play football last year, it almost, you know, that's where Dak's eyes go to, because he is creating separation. He wins at the point of attack. I have no concern that this offensive shift is going to hurt CeeDee Lamb. And the other part is they were playing with the lead so often last year, the third highest in the NFL. That's not something that necessarily replicates in a tough division. I think we all agree the Giants are pretty good. The Eagles are pretty good. You will be forced to abandon your philosophy at times if you are losing in a football game, and all of those opportunities are going to go to Lamb. So I'm just worried that if you want to adjust them a little bit because you like somebody else's situation a tad more, cool. I get it. It's the Schottenheimer fear. But I don't think it's going to impact CeeDee Lamb very much, and I'm going to scoop up the value.
Yeah, I've still got him as a top 10 wide receiver because he's so talented. He's the clear number one for this team. Dak is a good quarterback. I do have fears, even though efficiency might go up, if volume comes down, you've got a healthy Michael Gallup. You have an additional Brandon Cooks, because their depth chart last year was like CeeDee Lamb and Crackers. It was just a bunch of nothing out there. And so I feel like his target market
Ritz,
share will come down.
Ritz.
I was thinking like saltines, like yeah, something Ritz, that's going to dry your mouth. Ritz are buttery. Ritz, yeah. Ritz are really nice.
Ritz are Ritz cookies?
No.
Are they that good? They're not that
they're
good?
Crackers. Too salty.
Too salty.
Too salty.
I mean, I've had like caramel salty cookies that are like real good.
Yeah, but they're still the sweet. There is no sweet in a
There's
Ritz.
No sweet compliment.
Is there
so if you put a little bit of like Nutella on a Ritz?
Now you're talking. I don't know if it's a cookie, but I'm in.
What's like the third cracker?
You're saying saltines and Ritz own the joint? It's got to be the Wheat Thins.
Yeah, Wheat Thins is what comes to mind.
That's a cracker?
See, yeah. Those are kind of like poser crackers.
Those are awesome.
I'm pulling the room. That's a cracker? Wheat Thins are a cracker?
Wheat Thins are definitely in the cracker aisle. What else would it be?
What else would you call it?
A thin?
It is a Wheat Thin, but Wheat Thins are crackers.
Triscuits, you've got to get their name. They're still holding on to their...
Yeah, that's not a
that's
cracker.
That's like a...
Triscuits are somewhere in the most well-known...
It's somewhere between a biscuit and a tricycle.
Yes, Mike.
That's why they named it a Triscuit. Yes, that is
and correct. Now our Slack channel is getting various pictures of... You got those Keebler Club crackers?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Those are very
you've
good.
You've got the Townhouse Originals.
But
we're not predominantly a cracker show. I just dug in a little bit.
To my point, I do think that the options that Dak has to throw the ball to are better this season than they were last season. If he throws the ball, you know, significantly fewer times, and then there are other good options to throw the ball to, I don't think CeeDee Lamb is going to have a bad year. He's too good. But I do worry, you know, last year he was the wide receiver 6. I've got him moving down a few spots this season.
All right. Which might just be reaction versus overreaction and burying him. Let's take a quick break and back with 3 more overreactions for 2023.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Some things may seem small at the time, but when you keep them inside, when you keep everything bottled up, you leave those emotions to fester, and they can have some serious negative consequences. I know when I was younger, you know, you don't want to always say what's on your mind. You don't want to be seen as ungrateful or insensitive or whatever, but sometimes you bottle those things up too long, and they develop into real problems. Talking things out, working through what's weighing you down, it is more helpful than you realize. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I've had therapy. I've had practical, personal advances through therapy, whether I'm learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries personally, how to make better habits in my life. There's a lot of benefit, and you can give BetterHelp a try if you've been thinking of starting therapy. It's entirely online. It's convenient and flexible. It's also easy to get started. You just fill out one brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app. And replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit USAA.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
All right, we are back, and Jason has another overreaction. I don't know where you're going to go here. I'm afraid that I'll want to push back.
This is one that I think people are going to hate. And by people...
Well, is it wrong?
No, it's correct.
Oh, okay. just making sure.
What I'm going to say is correct, and I don't think a lot of people are going to like it. And I'm really curious if either one of you are going to like it or completely disagree. So here's what I think the overreaction... What I'm seeing as overreactions, I'm looking at like these underdog best ball drafts and seeing how people are really drafting. When they're putting their money on the line, who are they going after? Where are they going after them? And I think people are overreacting to the top of the tight ends from what happened last year. It's one of those situations where Travis Kelce, I mean, I've seen him go number 4 overall in round 1. He doesn't ever get past 7 in the first round. He is a middle of the first round pick. And let me tell you something. If what happens last year happens this year, he is worth every ounce. Take him with the 101. And so people are right to say, hey, I'm going to spend my 105 on Travis Kelce. If he is the same, not just him, but the tight end position is the same this year as it was last year. Except here's the thing. It's not. And it's not going to be the same. It's not going to be close to the same.
The tight ends?
The tight end situation is not going to be close to the same. We have recency bias because we look at what just happened and we say, well, that's what's going to happen.
What just happened 5 straight years?
No. It did not.
5 straight years
didn't
for Kelce.
Didn't even come
Kelce,
close to
for
happening.
Kelce it did.
Did not come close to happening the last 5 years. I'm glad you brought that up because that's the data I have.
What's the difference between 105 and 1,411 and 110 and 1,312.
Here's the difference. What the difference is the tight end 2, the tight end 3, the tight end 4, the tight end 5, the rest of the position. Last year, Travis Kelce lapped them. Last year was, first of all, Travis Kelce scored more fantasy points last year than anyone since Jimmy Graham in 2011. So you're talking a decade of performance here. fantastic. Even if he does it again, we need the rest of the tight ends to collapse. Kelce scored 5.2 fantasy points and half point scoring, more per game than the next best tight, than tight end two. 120 more fantasy points. That was
I think I'm getting confused.
Outlandish. So
you said that Kelce can do it again, but what is your point about the other tight ends?
My point is that
his value.
Because
you just said that if he did it again, it'd be worth him at four.
No, if what happens to tight ends last year happens again, where he's scoring 5.2 fantasy points more than the second best tight end.
Then it's worth it?
Then it would be worth it. But it's not going to happen. It never happens like that. Kelce outscored the number two by 88.9 fantasy points. Over the last 5 years, the largest gap from number one to number two was only 35 fantasy points. And on average, the tight end one scores 1.3 fantasy point more than the tight end two. But what happened last year was Andrews got injured and Waller got injured and Pitts got injured. Hawkinson was only good the second half of the year because after the trade, now he was, I believe he finished as the tight end too. All the tight ends sucked. I mean, drastically. They were horrific. I looked at the top five over the last decade, and basically two through five were just abysmal this last year compared to every other year that fantasy football has been played. So this year, Andrews is healthy. They've got a passing coordinator. Waller is healthy. He could be the number one option now. He wasn't going to be with Davante Adams last year. Hawkinson is on the new team that values his passing role. Kyle Pitts could still have a breakout. I'm in on Kyle Pitts this year. And my point is that if Travis Kelce scores the same as the average has been, 1.2 fantasy points more than the next best tight end and a few fantasy points more per game than the fifth best tight end, it's not going to be worth giving up the player that you are sacrificing at number five, number six. This is the highest the tight end has gone in as long as I've been playing fantasy football. And that's to say nothing of the fact that he's an elder statesman. You know, I know we've talked about the immortal years being Zeus and that he's, you know, still in his prime. Obviously, he was awesome last year.
Coming off of that, of the last year.
Right. So
he was great.
My whole point is what happened to tight ends last year was a true outlier, just statistically, historically, over the last decade. It hasn't happened like what happened last year. And I think that is pushing him to this elite status that is probably an overreaction.
Okay. My only logical pushback there would be there's a difference between the historical average happening and you getting the ones right that did it.
That's where I was going to go.
And so Kelce specifically, you know what you're getting with Kelce because he has the long history. Just because other tight ends in the past have performed close to him, it's still been difficult to predict which ones will do it in the past.
It's like Andrews.
But last year was very anomalous in the amount of injuries and non-secondary options that were viable. If you waited and you didn't go in on Kelce, you just were burnt and had somebody much more inferior.
Yeah, I mean, 2 years ago, Kelce wasn't even the tight end one. It was Mark Andrews. So
sure.
I think Mark Andrews is pretty much a lock to be the tight end two.
I think that's part of the discussion to me is it's Kelce at one or Andrews at one. Like, it's those two guys. And Andrews carries risk, I think.
I do too.
Cause like my projection for that team is they're gonna pass a bunch more, and Andrews will be the top target. But again, like Zay Flowers, a healthy Rashad Bateman, if Odell Beckham is anything, like these are variables that could take target share away from Mark Andrews, where Travis Kelce is locked, and Travis Kelce isn't just the best tight end. Travis Kelce is a player who can win you a week. He's not just going to accumulate the numbers that by the end, oh, he's the number one guy. He gave me 3 weeks out of the year where he caught three touchdowns. He caught four touchdowns in a week this past year. So that's where I'm okay going in on Kelce that early. He keeps getting it done over and over and over, where even the rest of the players in the first round carry more risk than he does, even at his age.
Yeah, are you moving away? Have you taken him in any of your drafts?
I've taken him if he's dropped to the back of the first. I'm looking at a draft
at
I'm
the
in.
Turn, at the
I'm
turn.
Looking at a draft I'm in right now. Is just the one that I'm on the clock.
You
in.
Can always do that, Jason.
I can. I'm pretty much always on the clock right now. I'm looking at that draft. Kelsey went.
This
number
show gets in the way.
It does. I need to wrap
Jason's
this up.
Priorities.
My clock is ticking. Kelsey went 5. He went ahead of Tyreek Hill. He went ahead of Austin Eckler. Diggs, A.J. Brown, Devontae Adams, Saquon Barkley, Bijan Robinson. Like,
see, I think that's okay.
And everybody does. This is what I'm trying to say. I think people are overreacting here. I think that's too far.
It would have been, I think the offseason the Chiefs had at wide receiver is also, it was like there's nothing to dissuade you from him. That was part of it. You know, right now, oh boy, no Mecole Hardman and no Juju, and they added James and Rashi Rice, and you're just like, well, here we go again. But yeah, I mean, there's last year was very, very difficult to find somebody anywhere that could compete with Travis Kelce on a week to week basis, whether or not you got it right or wrong. You just didn't have the option. Waller's been deleted for a while.
Yeah.
And this year there are some names. I mean, I love Goddard this year. So obviously if you go in on Kelce in the first round, you don't get to try to shoot your shot on a Goddard or, you know, you have, like you said, a Pitts breakout. I like Njoku with Deshaun Watson after him getting an offseason. I mean, there are some names out there that are more interesting, and you 100%, no matter what you believe about Kelce, you remove that flexibility from your roster if you're committed to tight end early.
If tight end 2 through 5 ends up being more what it's been over the last several years versus what it was last year, then the advantage he provides you just isn't going to be the same.
And it's also the scarcity of the position. And like when you're in the first round and you miss out on like, oh, I didn't get Tyreek Hill. I didn't get Stephon Diggs. I didn't get this player. Like, oh, but I got Ja'Marr Chase or I got Devontae Adams. If you don't take Kelce, your emergency parachute that you feel good about is Mark Andrews. And that's it. Like where, so you're, I mean, that round is going to be going through quick and you're going to be like, oh crap. If my entire plan is to go in on, I'm not going to take Kelce here because I want Andrews. And then he goes before your slot. I mean, then your entire strategy there is blown up.
All right, Mike, give me an overreaction. Another one.
All right. So this one is, honestly, this one is not heavy in statistics. It's just, let's point out a situation and a person's ADP and go, what's going on here? Because I just made a case against DJ Moore, who is the wide receiver 21. Well, right now I'm looking at underdog in best ball. This person is the wide receiver 17. Wide receiver 17. You go, well, when's the last time you played football? Well, what if I told you in week 1 it will have been almost 700 days since he played football?
Is that right?
It better be right, because that's what Kyle's telling me. It's Calvin Ridley, who he had an entire year where he was suspended because of he put a bet down on a football game. Before that, we only saw 4 weeks of him in the 2020. When did he last play? Goodness gracious.
2012.
1881.
October 24th, 2021.
Quill pens were still the thing.
Yes.
So he appeared back in 2021. He appeared in 5 games. And look, we don't know exactly what was going on with Calvin Ridley because he left the game to go take care of mental health issues. Was that affecting him on the field? Probably. But looking at the numbers that he put up on the field in those 5 games where he was finally the guy. Julio Jones was gone. It was Calvin Ridley was going to be the number one wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons, and he was used that way. We're talking in those 5 games, an average of a 27% target share. 27%. And he finished inside of the top 24. One time.
It was 700 days ago, but I remember it like it was yesterday.
It was painful. And again, not to try and take anything away from what the man was dealing with, but the last time we saw him play football, when we didn't know, can he really be the number one guy, because he had always played with Julio Jones. And it's the same, like, it's the Juju situation of Juju's putting up incredible years. Like, yeah, well, he's playing with Antonio Brown. Of course Juju Smith-Schuster can be the number one guy. No, he can't. He's like, no, that's not what he does on the football field. And now he goes, he gets traded to the Jacksonville Jaguars, which that's a fine team situation to be in. You like pass friendly Trevor Lawrence, except Christian Kirk just had a fantastic season after getting the bag. And Christian Kirk is being drafted as the wide receiver 27. Zay Jones, the spot starter, who had himself a fine year, wide receiver 57. So the market is saying we are so super confident that Calvin Ridley, who hasn't played football in 700 days, is the number one, that we are taking him as the wide receiver 17. And I think that that is not just a mistake. I think that is an egregious mistake.
Where do you have him?
I'm ashamed to tell you.
Oh, I know. I'm excited to tell you.
I had built up multiple bullet points of agreement with Mike.
Oh, no. In my head. No!
And then I pulled up my stats. I mean, there were going to be things like, hey, look, this team is kind of agnostic. They target who's open, and Zay Jones is actually very good, and Christian Kirk is a viable – he was a free agent signing for tons of money. Like, he's going to get his, and then Evan Engram. And then I scroll over to my rankings, and Calvin Ridley
wide
is my
17.
Wide receiver 17. It's exactly –
You, sir, are the problem.
I'm the problem. I just learned
– it's me.
I just learned that I'm the problem, apparently. Now, what I'm worried about is the look Jason's giving me. Because are you part of the problem with me?
I am part of the – it. We'll call it a problem here. But I think it's a solution. Look, I was anti-Calvin Ridley – I didn't draft him prior to doing the stats, prior to looking into this. I think you make very compelling arguments, Mike. The risk, the risk.
I've thrown out the window because Jason has him ranked at.
Yeah. I've got him at 16, wide receiver 16.
I'll counter with this. I don't care.
Yeah. So,
as you said, he's correct.
I've got him with a very high risk number because you're taking a lot of projection and a lot of hope, and you're mixing it together and saying, man, this would be great if it comes out on top. That being said, there is a world where Calvin Ridley, who, when he was, you know, an NFL player, was one of the best wide receivers in the game.
In 2019.
He has shown very good ability. He has been working with this team for a while now. He was allowed back with the team before he was able to play. He's not too old for the position. And if he comes out and gives
28.
Trevor Lawrence a true one, and Trevor Lawrence takes a step forward, Ridley to me could be a, you know, you talk about the guys who could be a wide receiver one this year. I think he could be. I'm not projecting him there, but at wide receiver 16, I've taken a handful of Calvin Ridley in my recent drafts.
There are risks involved with Calvin Ridley, no question about it. You know, if you go and read his story about what has transpired over the last 700 days, it includes a lot of information about the work ethic of this player prior to the disruption and, you know, with his time with Julio, the kind of effort he puts in. The two things that stand out to me about Calvin Ridley, historically speaking, I understand there's narratives about playing on the other side of Julio Jones. But it's the yards per catch, the ability to pile up yardage, and the ability to be a touchdown guy in multiple seasons. 10, 7, and 9, that was playing with some other wide receivers that were very talented, and the touchdown totals. So that's why he's at the tippy top of the upside of this wide receiver room to me, despite the fact he has that risk.
I'm really disappointed, Andy. I just went into Mike's stat doc, and I was just so hoping.
That you would have discovered
that. Oh, Mike, you've got him at 18. But you do have Calvin Ridley and Christian Kirk back-to-back at 27, 28.
Which is more of an even distribution projection for that team, which is like,
I have Kirk,
it's very possible.
I have Kirk with the higher target share, but Calvin Ridley is a big play guy. And this rant here is not, I think it's impossible for Calvin Ridley.
It's like, cool your jets a little bit.
It's just, if in basketball right now, the wide receiver 17 versus, I mean, like, it's not as, I'm twisting the situation. Because I was thinking of, like, Gabe Davis last year, where it was, he's the looks like the number two for the team. And you've taken just a small sample and you're projecting this huge leap forward. And it still would be a huge leap forward for Calvin Ridley to go for the last time we saw him be actively good, which was 2020, as the wide receiver two for his team. now be the number one on this team with a brand new system all around him and pay off the wide receiver 17 ADP.
I definitely don't believe that Doug Peterson, Trevor Lawrence and company are going to approach the season as Calvin Ridley is supposed to be our alpha. I think there's a 0% chance of that. He is coming into this room after 700 days with an opportunity that Jacksonville gave them. But their loyalty is obviously to Christian Kirk and the rest of this room as well, not just Calvin Ridley. So I don't think he's coming in as the alpha, but I think he's good enough to potentially earn it through the year if he still has the skill. The final overreaction I want to get to here requires you to remove your turd-colored glasses. Which have been the only glasses you could have worn to glance in the direction of Phoenix, Arizona, and the Arizona Cardinals this offseason.
You don't need glasses for that, my man.
The turd.
You just look.
You just look.
Yeah. You're looking at a turd. Yeah.
No. The glasses are perfectly normal.
I took the glasses off. Still a turd.
Look, it's garbage vibes in Arizona this offseason. We've got a new head coach, a new general manager.
Trust the process.
We have an ACL injured, now recovering Kyler Murray. We have essentially made the best players on our team mad at us, which has included Budda Baker and now DeAndre Hopkins. The vibes all offseason long. This is just a kind of this was inspired in part by seeing how high he was in Jason's rankings. Remember how good DeAndre Hopkins is and was when healthy and what he's capable of. I think he is getting buried. I have seen him in best ball and NFL drafts just ignored. And it's not something you should be doing with a talent as good as DeAndre Hopkins. He is not done in this league. Before the injury, Kyler was averaging over 20 fantasy points a game. The quarterback 6. He should be back early in the year. And Hopkins right now, he has not departed. He had a 29% target share. He was averaging almost 11 targets a game, 75 receiving yards a game. That is what he's capable of. And this was the wide receiver. You know, he's playing alongside Hollywood Brown, who is very, very good. Who I think is very, very good heading into his contract year. But if Hopkins drops far enough, I think you take the chance. I think you take the opportunity. Last year, we couldn't say that because he was going into the season, and this might be why I think the overreaction will happen too, but he wasn't there.
Yeah.
You had 6 weeks where you didn't get to have any DeAndre Hopkins, and the investment you made was on a suspended player that was going to take a spot on your bench, not go on your IR, and so he's ignored by the time he comes back because your first 6 weeks, they are an imprint on you as a fantasy player. But DeAndre Hopkins is still one of the best pure receivers in football.
Well, when he comes back, he's the wide receiver 10, the wide receiver 2. Everything is great. He's on fire. And then Kyler gets injured. And Kyler misses a couple of games. And so you're going, well, yeah, but what if Kyler's missing? Well, the two games that Kyler missed there, he was the wide receiver 15 and the wide receiver 15 on 14 targets and 12 targets, 10 receptions, 9 receptions, respectively, 98 yards, 91 yards. This is without Kyler. In those games.
Those are the Colt McCoy games, right?
Yeah, yeah, those are the Colt McCoy games. And then later in the season when Kyler got injured, Hopkins missed that time. So I would agree with you, obviously. My rankings have him pretty high, but he is still an NFL alpha. He's like one of the best wide receivers in the league. And so whoever comes in is going to target him heavily, and he's going to do good things with it.
There have been... Like, if you don't like the injury concerns, I mean, he's gotten himself banged up quite often. But there are, I mean, you know, Mike Williams, Christian Watson, the aforementioned Calvin Ridley, DJ Moore. These are all players going ahead of DeAndre Hopkins right now. And so I know it's not easy to look at that situation in Arizona, but I think that there are some opportunities there. So, you know, I know you thought about putting a bet on that 4.5 win total in Arizona.
I did.
You did put a bet.
Put a bet.
Yeah, and not saying that you believe they're playoff bound.
No, but no, I think they're going to be a trash team. But 4.5 wins is too low. And the Kyler health is a question mark that right now you can capitalize on because the assumption, obviously, with the actual win totals here for the Cardinals on the season, and the assumption for Hopkins and Kyler's, you look at where Kyler's being drafted. It's like he is guaranteed to miss half the season at least. And there still exists a world where he is ready week one or misses 2 weeks and comes in week three. And if that happens, then all these values, they're not going to be, you know, the Cardinals aren't going to the playoffs, but it's mispriced right now.
Yeah, I agree. So guess what? It's back.
Best Ball Breakdown, presented by Underdog Fantasy.
Not only is it back, but we have finally fixed the graphic.
Mm-hmm.
It looked pretty nice.
Yes.
Look, every single week we're going to have a best ball segment leading up into the season. The segment will not simply be watching Jason draft in best ball every 2 seconds.
It's just pure silence and some grimaces.
I have just started. Like I definitely don't play as much best ball as maybe Kyle and Jason do. Well,
because no one does.
Because it's impossible physically without the team of assistants Jason has surrounded himself with to draft. But we're doing a weekly best ball segment. I have just started, ironically, a best ball mania for draft. I am a handful of picks in. We're going to talk about a little overview of best ball and a little overview of maybe some things that we have seen change on the platform, change in the draft tendencies between 2022 and 2023. I noticed right out of the gate in my first best ball draft this offseason, and I wondered how dumb I was, how many wide receivers were going off the board. So, Jason, maybe a little lay of the land.
Yeah, you want to talk about overreactions. You can look at the what's happening right now in best ball leagues, which is – so, first of all, let's rewind here. Maybe you haven't played best ball. You've heard us talk about best ball.
Worse ball leagues.
Maybe you don't even know what it is. Best ball is absolutely wonderful. It is for fantasy football players because this is where you go and you do a draft. You could do it in a fast draft. You know, it takes 40 minutes and you just have fun doing that. Or, I'm always in the slow drafts. If you want to join me.
What is it? Is 24 hours a pick or is it? Hours a pick?
No, the clock is like 10 hours a pick.
Okay.
Or 7 hours. I don't know. I'm always on the clock.
It's 8.
Thank you.
We got there.
We threw out so many numbers.
I know.
We corrected it. We got there in the end. And you could do one of two things. You can be in like a 12-man league and just basically draft the team you want. And then at the end, you don't do anything. You don't do waivers. You don't do start sits. Your best lineup play is every single week. So once you're done with the draft,
yes, draft
you
and go.
Follow it along through the season if you want, or you just check in at the end of the year and we're like, how did I do? But it is so good for getting better at fantasy, so good for knowing what are the strategies being used, how are people playing, because people are putting $3, $5, $10, $25 down on every single one of these things. So they're trying to win money. They're trying to make the best team they can. And then the other thing you could do if you don't just do like a 12-man league is you could do Best Ball Mania 4, their new big giant tournament. There are $15 million in total prizes, $3 million to first place, and I love this year, a third of it is going to the regular season champ, so you don't just have to worry about the Week 17 playoff week, you know, take it all home. I love that because I think the best players probably – whoever wins the majority of the season. But there's a lot of fun things. So, yeah, today we wanted to say what were the things that stood out to us that are different this year than last year if you have played on Underdog for best ball. The one that stood out to me is that quarterbacks have been pushed up immensely. This last year, if you didn't have Jalen Hurts, you better had Josh Allen. If you didn't have Josh Allen, you better have had Patrick Mahomes. If you didn't have one of those three,
Thanks
for good try. Put a lot of good quarterbacks together and hope you got lucky because those guys were just so good. And so if you look back at the last couple of years, 2020, the amount of quarterbacks being drafted in the first five rounds were 2. In 2021, there were 4. In 2022, there were 5.
Oh.
And now this year, right now,
trends continue.
8 quarterbacks are going in the first 5 rounds. Those big 3 I mentioned, they are in the second round every draft. I've never seen in any of the drafts I've done, never seen one of those 3 guys make it out of the second round. So you are paying a premium for those 3 players. And I think when I look at what's happening is I think those 3 players who there was a giant gap between them and the rest of the field. They have pushed up the next five too high.
I just had to take Herbert in the fifth round.
Yeah.
Because he was the last of what I viewed as a tier of difference-making quarterbacks, because Fields and Burrow were gone right before me, and it was like, and Lamar's gone, and Hurts is gone, and Allen and Mahomes. It's at least held true in the draft I'm in right now.
Yeah, so that's something that you've got to wrestle with. Are you willing to take one of those three great quarterbacks early on in your draft? If not, personally, if I'm not doing that, I'm going to go with the three quarterback, try to build and get some cheap later options and try to pair a Tua with a Derek Carr with a last round Mac Jones and just hope that the spread approach works if I can't get one of those humongous names.
Yeah, and so all of our, like, when we give you the best ball ADP data, it's coming in, you know, from the Underdog Fantasy best ball app, and you know, some, there are differences between what you're seeing, you know, obviously in your week to week drafts and the numbers that we're quoting for some of these redraft arguments. You know, I don't know where Richardson's value is going to be in redraft compared to where it is right now ADP wise, because, you know, he's a home run, right? Mm-hmm. He's the potential to win it all and be the player at the end of the year where you're like, well, no one won any leagues if they didn't have Anthony Richardson, that type of player, as opposed to maybe a low, you know, ceiling type of
Kirk Cousins,
Derek Carr. So some of those things are definitely going to be variations between redraft and best ball. Mike, it's kind of a natural outcropping from seeing wide receivers and quarterbacks earlier, but you wanted to talk about running backs.
Yeah, if the wide receivers are up, that means that the running backs are getting pushed down. Look, in 2020, 14 running backs off the board in the top 20 picks. That's very high T, very robust, and now there are five running backs in the top 20 picks as of right now. CMC, Bijan, Eckler, Johnny Taylor, and Saquon Barkley. And part of all fantasy football drafts, it has been you take a running back in the first two rounds if that's how you play the game. And then the back of the third through the fifth round has been by the fantasy football community dubbed, it's the dead zone of running backs, because all the starters are gone and those who are like, I gotta have a running back, and you're taking like the low end starters, you're taking like even backup running backs at that point. I mean, it gets really brutal there. But now, because they're getting pushed down in the third round, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Ramondre Stevenson.
I mean, couldn't resist the names.
Like, that's outrageous value to get a running back of that caliber in the third.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the fourth, I mean, it's not necessarily as great, but Jahmyr Gibbs, high upside. But Najee Harris. He's not an elite first-round running back, but he is not a dead-zone running back. He's a guy that you'd be super happy to have as a real stable running back, too.
I just got Kenneth Walker in the late fourth.
Yeah, there you go. And so, I mean, it's the ebbs and the flows of playing the market. It's just you need to be aware that these things are happening, because I don't mind going wide receiver if you're getting Derrick Henry. Like, if you're slotted that you can get one of those running backs in the third as your RB1, that's wild.
Yeah, you just need to have a strategy when you're taking that first round pick, and you say, okay, this is the way that I'm going to play this specific draft, because you can have hundreds of these drafts if you want, or dozens, or two, or three, and
or
play
dozen
with your
hundreds,
dozen hundreds. You play with your builds, and as we ramp up and get closer to fantasy season, we're going to be giving you guys tips and lay of the lands and all sorts of information on basically how to construct your roster and be good at this, because we want you guys to succeed and have fun like we're doing. Before you close it out, though, I am on the clock, and I want you guys to make my pick.
Okay.
All right.
Debo.
I think he is gone. We are a little bit later. I need one of these wide receivers: Quentin Johnston, Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, or Juju.
Yeah, it's Quentin Johnston for me.
I would go Bateman.
Well, since I've got Flowers ahead of Bateman, Quentin Johnston it is.
All right, that was Best Ball Breakdown presented by Underdog Fantasy. Get your first deposit matched up to $100. Use the code BALLERS. That is going to do it for today's episode of the podcast. Thank you for joining us. A reminder, if you want to get tickets to see us live in LA, you can go to ballerslive.com. And if you want to pre-order the UDK, that is ultimatedraftkit.com. Until next time.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FF Ballers.
You're still here? Well, why don't you take a second and head on over to jointhefoot.com and consider supporting our independent podcast. You get access to exclusive episodes every week, access to a thriving community of like-minded fantasy football players, and access to special tools to help you win each week. Learn more at jointhefoot.com.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.